All right, turn back with me to John 19. John 19. We are in such a solemn moment right here in this text. Such a solemn moment. Our Lord just cried the three great words of salvation. It is finished. It is finished. Right there hangs Christ crucified, the Lamb slain, God's sacrifice for sin, the one who accomplished everything that heaven and earth required, every single thing. This is a faithful saying, and it's worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and He did it. That's why He came, and He did it. It is finished. It's finished. For He hath made Him to be sin for us. He that knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Christ came into this world to earn a righteousness for His people, and He did it. He did it. He did it. I love the thought that I have a brand new record in Him. I have a brand new record. All those things that I've done, that one's gone. I have a brand spanking new record. He came to live for me and earn this perfect life, this perfect righteousness for me. And He did it. And I get it. And when God looks at me, He sees everything Christ did all that time. Well done. It's finished. He said, Father, all that Thou hast given me to do, I have finished the work. Every single thing. Here hangs our Savior. Here hangs our Redeemer, our Lord, our King, our husband, our brother, our friend. That's our friend hanging right there. He's my friend. That's my friend. My friend hung there. He said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. We always say the elect, and that's true. All that the Father chose to give Him, that's true. But do you know who all those people were? His friends. These are my friends. Came to die for my friends. The gospel is hanging right there. The gospel's hanging right there. If a sinner wants to know what is the gospel, he's hanging right there on that cross. He's hanging right there on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ is the gospel. Christ is all. Christ is all. Now look at verse 31. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. The Jews were the religious people. They were the ones who went to church. And this happened on a Friday, and they went to church on Saturday. It was their Sabbath. They were not allowed to cook. They were not allowed to work. They were not allowed to do anything on that particular day, on the Sabbath day. So they had to make preparations for it. They had to prepare for that day. They did that on Friday. Especially this particular Sabbath, because they had the Sabbath every Saturday, but once a year it was the Passover Sabbath. That was their big Passover Sabbath. And everybody came to observe it, just like Easter. All right? Sunday, just like every other Sunday. But everybody's going to go to church with Mama on Easter. Everybody, it's going to be a big deal. Everybody's coming. Special. This one's a special service. All the other ones, they're just regular services. This one is the special service. Here was the problem for the Jews. Our Lord was nailed to a Roman cross. He was convicted and he was sentenced to die by the Romans. And when the Romans crucified the guilty, when they hung their guilty on a cross, they left him on that cross for days and days and weeks until it was nothing but bones hanging there. That's how they did it. That was their custom. They did this to add to the guilty's shame. They shamed the guilty by leaving him there. They let him rot on that cross. And they left him there until, one account said, the buzzards and the vultures were finished with him. That's how long they left him there. It was a horrible, awful sight. It was awful, awful. Verse 31, the Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation, today's the preparation, that the bodies should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was an high day. They besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. They came to Pilate and they said, we want him taken down. We want him taken down. He just died. In one of the accounts, you remember reading it, Pilate said, Pilate marveled that he was dead already. A lot of times it took men days and days and days to die. And these other two men, they were not dead. They'd just been hung. Our Lord gave up the ghost. No man takes my life from me. I lay it down. So he gave up the ghost, and Pilate marveled, is he dead already? And they came and said, we want him taken down. Pilate said, why? Why? They said, because tomorrow is our holy day. Tomorrow's holy. It's the holy day. Tomorrow we're going to worship God. Isn't that something? That's what we're going to do tomorrow. We have a lamb we're going to offer. We've been doing it since Exodus 12. We have ceremonies that need to be kept. We have a law that needs to be carried out. And we do not want him defiling our worship. Isn't that something? Is that not religion for you? They beat him with their fists. They actually drove nails into him. Their hands were literally dripping with his blood. Literally. They had his blood on them while they said, he's interfering with our worship. Take him down. Take him down. We want him down. Beat him, kill him, and then get him out of our sight. Religious traditions, that's what they are. Traditions and ceremonies and laws, they are carried out to the letter. You will not find them carried out any better than in the heart of a man who is absolutely dead to God. That's where you'll find it. All of that ceremony and all of that law, that keeping of the law, it will be carried out perfectly in a man who is dead to God. Just dead to God. The more dead the heart, the more strictly it will enforce that law. It'll enforce that law. Get the crucified Christ out of here. We're trying to worship God and He's messing it up. Do not talk about a bloody sacrifice. We don't want to hear it. We do not want to hear it. We don't like it. It's offending people. It's offending people. The stuff is offending people. The last thing we want to see is the crucified Christ. What do we want to see? Oh, man. We want to see a crucified Christ, don't we? When we look at the crucified Christ, you know what we're doing? We're worshiping God. He is our Lamb who was slain. We have a law that has to be kept, and there it is. We're going to worship God. Verse 32 says, they said, we want Him taken down. So they asked that Pilate would break their legs. And verse 32, then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with Him. Pilate gave the order. They obeyed His command. They broke both the thieves' legs. And the reason that they did this is because they were still alive. They were still awake. They were still aware. This was an excruciating thing to endure. Can you imagine? This was an excruciating thing to endure. Now, our Lord just told one of them. He just told one of them. Today, you're going to be with me in paradise. He just told one of them that. Today. I mean, the sun's not going to go down before you're in paradise. He was a saved man. One of them was a saved man. But even though he only had hours left to live, he still had to endure pain. He still had to endure suffering. He still had to endure trial. He was a saved man for just an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. And like every believer before him, he still had to endure all those sufferings. He belonged to Jesus Christ, but he was not spared this pain. Pain and suffering on this earth. Well, does the fact that he was going through all that mean God was angry with him? No. Christ just died for him. Christ literally just died. Died for him. Well, does the fact that he was going through all that mean Christ was punishing him for some reason? Maybe Christ is punishing me for some reason. He was at that moment being ushered into glory. At that moment. The fact that they did that sped the process to usher him into glory. He was on his way to paradise. The fact of the matter is, we don't need to be healed from pain and suffering. We would love to be, but we don't need to be. What we need to be healed from is our sin. That's what we need to be healed from, our sin. And our Lord reminds us of that every time He allows us to go through pain and suffering and trial. It is through that suffering that we learn our need of Him. Now look at John 16 with me. Back a couple of pages to John 16. I've always loved this verse. John 16, verse 33, our Lord said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace." In me. In me, you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. There was nothing they could do to that thief that could separate him from the love of Christ. There was nothing they could do to stop him from any minute being in paradise. In this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. He has overcome the world. He's overcome every obstacle in this world. Every trial, every pain, every suffering. Back in John 19, verse 32 says, "Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken." Not one bone. Upholding all scripture, and making Christ to be the perfect sacrifice. God in sovereignty controlled those soldiers, and he wouldn't let them touch one bone in his body. Not one bone in his body. They cannot touch his bones. Now turn with me to Numbers chapter 9. Numbers chapter 9, look at verse 2. Numbers 9, verse 2. "Let the children of Israel also keep the Passover at his appointed season." This chapter is describing the Passover lamb. It's talking about the Passover lamb, okay? Look at verse 11. "The 14th day of the second month, at even they shall keep it and eat it with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it unto the morning, nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinances of the Passover, they shall keep it." Don't break one bone. Not one bone. You be careful as you're eating this Passover. Do not break one bone. Why is that? Go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse 21. "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Bone of his bones. In Ephesians chapter 5, quoting this, talking about marriage, said, "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church." And he said, "We are his bones. We are his body. We are his bones." Bone of his bones. That's his people. He is the head, and we are his body. Now turn with me to Psalm 34. Psalm 34, look at verse 20. "He keepeth all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Not one. He said, you can break me, but you cannot touch them. His body was broken, not his bones. Not his bones. They beat him. They pierced him. They spit on him. They plucked his beard. They pressed thorns into his head. And he let them do every bit of that. But he said, you're not touching my bones. Not a bone shall be broken. He was broken for us. We'll never be broken. Go with me back to John 19. John 19, verse 32. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water, just like Adam's side. The Lord did an operation on Adam's side. And his bride came out of there. Well, the second Adam, God did an operation on his side, and he used this soldier to do it. And out came eternal life. That's what came out, eternal life. Blood and water. That soldier, he didn't break his legs because he knew he was dead already. And to prove it, he ran a spear up in there. And justification came forth and sanctification came forth. Blood and water. You know, Christ really is all. I mean, he really is all. He is all that heaven and earth needs. I love that song, Precious Name, Oh How Sweet, Hope of Earth, Joy of Heaven. Christ is all. He's all. Heaven is a place where everybody is worshiping Christ. God the Father says to God the Son, Thy throne, O God, is forever. All the cherubims and seraphims, Christ is all. God needed blood and man needed water. God needed to be appeased, man needed to be cleansed. And Christ provided it all. Verse 34, but one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, that's John, he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. He died. He truly did die. He really did die. What that means is we really do have a hope. I mean, we truly, truly have a hope. A true hope. These things are true. And the one that bear record said, I know they're true. I mean, we really do have a hope. We can rest in the fact that God is appeased. We know what we are. And we know what God is. And we can rest in the fact that God is appeased. And I'll leave us with this. Verse 35. And he that saw it, John, he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true. That's my favorite line right there. I know I'm saying true. Now, there's no doubt in my mind. I saw it. I was standing at the foot of the cross and I saw it. He that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that you might believe. After our Lord gave up the ghost, I'm sure everybody left. It's over. Everybody left. But God caused John to stay to be a witness to these things. And John said, I'm telling you this is true. And I'm telling you this that you might believe. That you might believe. Our God did not leave Himself without a witness. Never did He leave Himself. When He came out of that tomb, He had brought two angels down to witness it. He has never left Himself without a witness. And our God never will. He never will. Until the day that He returns, He will always have a voice in the wilderness crying, Behold the Lamb. Always. He'll always have a witness. Behold the Lamb. And in goodness and in mercy, He'll do that for us, that we might believe. And we do, don't we? He's given us faith and we believe Him. We believe Him. We have a hope. We're all hoping in this. Is this true? John said, I know it's true. I know it's true. And I'm telling you this that you might believe. All right, let's all stand together.